Coming up on today's episode of the Locked On Bucks podcast, we talk about the NFL top 100 list and a little rivalry that it started. We talk about some COVID impacts of Major League Baseball and how it could affect the NFL. But first, there's already a player for the Buccaneers that has been placed on the reserve COVID-19 list.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up and welcome back to the Locked On Bucks podcast, brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. I am James Yarko, joined as always by David Harrison. You can find everything that we're doing over at bucksnation.com and make sure you follow along on Twitter at lockedonbucks, at jyarko_bucks, at dharrison82, and at bucks_nation. Your Tampa Bay Buccaneers lead story is third round draft pick Keyshawn Vaughn was placed on the NFL's new reserve COVID-19 list. And in a statement on Buccaneers.com, it said the following, quote, "The new reserve list category was created for a player who either tests positive for COVID-19 or who has been quarantined after having been in close contact with an infected person or persons. If a player falls into either of these categories, his club is required to immediately place the player on the reserve COVID-19 list. Per agreed upon in the NFL, NFLPA policy, clubs are not permitted to comment on a player's medical status other than referring to roster status. Clubs may not disclose whether a player is in quarantine or is positive for COVID-19. So all that being said, we don't know if Keyshawn Vaughn was placed on this list because he has it or if it's because he came in contact with somebody who has it. Either way, it's, you know, it's great that they're implementing this. They have this process in place to try to prevent the spread within the team. What's not great for Keyshawn Vaughn is, you know, he's expected to have a big role this season, and having to start off his training camp basically on this reserve list and under quarantine does not give him a great opportunity to show what he can do in this limited capacity with no preseason.
Yeah, and I want to say I think it's a great provision that the NFL put in place, and that I'm sure the NFLPA had a say in, that teams are not allowed or not even willing to disclose whether or not guys like Keyshawn Vaughn have tested positive himself, or if he just, you know, reported to camp and basically said, hey, look, my cousin, my friend, my brother, my sister, my mother, my father, somebody, I don't know, someone I was around has tested positive. Here's the details to it. And now it allows the organization to err on the side of caution. Look, I know that, you know, this entire conversation about, you know, COVID-19, coronavirus, all this stuff, it's got so many layers to it, and there are so many differing opinions. Just earlier today, I was waiting for my car to get finished in the service station, and I didn't watch a whole lot of it, but I saw like a live stream on Twitter of like a bunch of doctors out in front of the the Capitol building. I think they were basically talking about how, you know, a lot of these numbers are overblown. We've had story after story come out of Florida of the numbers are high, but then the numbers are inaccurate, but then the numbers are false. Like, there are so many different layers of this thing, man. At the end of the day, when you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you're going to go the path of most caution. And it's just, that's just the best way to protect your organization is to take the area or take the path of the most error. You know what I mean? We do the same thing in the Army. I mean, I've got leaders in the Army who, you know, some of them are fully on board with everything that they're, you know, being told in the mainstream. Some of them are on the same page as other people saying that, you know, that stuff's overblown, or some of them may be fabricated, expanded, whatever. But no matter what, across the board, everybody is taking the precautions they have to err on the side of caution to make sure their organization is as healthy as it can possibly be. And that's what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers here are doing. Really, my question, James, for you and for the rest of Bucs fandom is it now time to fire Jason Light? Because how dare he draft somebody in the third round that's going to come down with coronavirus or have to be quarantined?
100%. Definitely his fault. He should have seen this coming.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how the scouts missed it, but I'm sorry. You know, there's somebody out there thinking it. So I'm just
going to. Oh, of course. Yeah, I mean, if Keyshawn Vaughn ends up, you know, only getting, a handful of carries and he's got 130 rushing yards on the season, then that'll be somebody's narrative during the offseason. You know, he drafted this bum in the third round because, you know, he's a terrible GM, when the fact of the matter would be, you know, this guy missed, you know, a key part of the offseason, in a very strange offseason for these rookies. Yeah. Unlike anything we've ever seen before. And, you know, it's going to take them a while to get used to everything. But, yeah, it's anymore we just kind of shake our head and we have to laugh it off, because people will find any reason they can to bash on Jason Light.
Yeah, it's just the world we live. I mean, I remember people calling Devin White a bust because he had, what was it, laryngitis? I don't know, whatever procedure he had to have done that caught, you know, he was ill and, you know, he's a little weak in his first, and they got injured in the Carolina Panthers game. People were calling him a bust and saying that Jason Light should be fired, because I knew we shouldn't draft an off-ball linebacker in the fifth round because, oh, well, your scouting report said that he was going to get ill before week one and then get injured in week two. So I don't know how these NFL scouts missed that in the scouting report. But Josh Allen was certainly active for his team, for the Jacksonville Jaguars, so that just proves even further. I mean, I don't know. It's craziness, man. But again, we've had this conversation with Derwin James. We've had it with, you know, even Jamal Adams, Vita Vea, et cetera, et cetera. What happens in one city is not going to translate directly to another city just because, you know, Devin White got sick. I mean, honestly, Devin White may not have gotten whatever illness he got if he was in, say, Jacksonville, and Josh Allen may have gotten it if he was in Tampa. I mean, it's those are things you can't possibly know. I agree with Ren to a certain extent. You can't go down those alternate timelines and say for any certainty what's actually going to happen. I just, yeah, not trying to stir anybody's pot or ruffle anybody's feathers, but if you're out there saying that Jason Light is a terrible GM because Keyshawn Vaughn either has Corona or was around somebody who had Corona, I don't know, take a walk outside.
Well, speaking of ruffling feathers, we are going to get into the NFL Top 100 and kind of some fallout from that in just a moment. But first, of course, we have to talk about our friends over at rockauto.com. That's right, rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet, which I might need a little bit of because we decided to take the puppy to the in-laws and she got a little scared in the car and kind of peed on the carpet. So that was great. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals as they are do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much at one of those awful big box stores when you can get the same parts cheaper over at rockauto.com? So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Just write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" section so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. It's a Tuesday edition here of the Locked On Bucks podcast, and we're going to get away from Corona chat here for a little bit, and we're going to discuss something that was on the NFL Network on Sunday that David, I don't know if you watched it. I couldn't watch it because the NFL Network and Sling are having a little lover's quarrel, and so NFL Network is not available on Sling at the moment, so I can't watch the NFL Network.
I do not have television service because I'm getting ready to move, and I had to rip my DirecTV satellite out of the ground.
Oh, that is true. Yeah, you're packing up and ready to move on to greener pastures. Certainly less snowy ones.
Yeah, you ain't lying.
So yeah, the NFL, as they do every year, they did their top 100 as voted on by the players. Not all the players, just a few of the players. I do believe that the voting is done by the players that attend the Pro Bowl, so that kind of narrows down the field. I know Pat McAfee had talked about it at one point on one of his shows when he did his little talking head for the show and everything on there. But yeah, coming in at number 100, kicking off the list, was Lavonte David, which, David, that's a bittersweet moment for Bucks fans. And I say that because people have always talked about how overlooked Lavonte David is, how underrated he is, how, you know, he's one of the best linebackers in football, but he doesn't get talked about. He doesn't get the respect, yada, yada, yada. Well, here he is on the NFL Top 100. People are still not happy.
That's because he's easily one of the top 75 players in the NFL, if not higher than that even. I mean, you know, it's a factor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just not getting the recognition as an organization, as a franchise, that's going to help elevate a guy like Lavonte David. I mean, it's a tale as old as the NFL. It's, you know, wearing a certain logo on your helmet, playing in a certain market, playing for a certain team is going to help you. You know, if you take advantage of those platforms and those stages that those teams get to play on, it's going to help you elevate your own personal stock and your personal brand, whatever you want to call it. It's just a known fact. With the arrival of Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, obviously the Tampa Bay Buccaneers spotlight is going to get much bigger, much brighter. So Lavonte David now has an opportunity, you know, to take that 100th rank or whatever and turn it into a much higher rank next year. If Lavonte goes out there and just does what he's been doing his entire career, then there's basically no way any of these players, any of these pundits, anybody with a football opinion is going to be able to say that Lavonte David is not easily in the top, you know, 3/4 of the league, if not even higher. I feel like you probably could justify him being in the 60s range. Higher than that, I wouldn't have expected anything higher just because, again, of the way that this whole thing works. We've been talking about it for a good part of the offseason, though. I mean, Lavonte David for the longest time has been called one of the most underrated players in the NFL. And then now all offseason we've seen on NFL Network, ESPN, our own site, other Buccaneer sites, other, you know, NFC South sites, the Saints teams, or the guys covering the Saints, the Falcons, the Panthers, et cetera, have talked about Lavonte David. Everybody's saying Lavonte David is one of the most underrated players in the NFL. Well, as soon as everybody starts calling you one of the most underrated players, you're no longer being underrated. Now it's everybody's looking at you to prove that you have been underrated. And that's basically what's happening to Lavonte. But I don't think he's going to take any pressure from it. I don't think he's going to feel any pressure from it. Honestly, I think Lavonte knows who he is. He knows the team values him. He knows his teammates value him. And he's just going to play within himself in the game and let all the other stuff figure itself out. There's a conversation going on social media about whether or not Lavonte is Hall of Fame material and whether or not he's going to get any Hall of Fame recognition. I feel like he's kind of on the Simeon Rice type path, where I think that there's going to be Buccaneers fans who argue that he should get more consideration, should get more serious talk about potentially being in the Hall of Fame someday. But I feel like he's just a guy that, I mean, honestly, at this point, I don't think Simeon Rice is ever going to get in. Like, maybe, you know, way down the future, what is it? They had like the legacy players that they just kind of throw in there. I feel like that might be how Simeon Rice gets into the Hall. But I feel like Lavonte David is kind of on that trajectory. Again, if the Buccaneers can turn Tom Brady into two Super Bowl trips, maybe even one or two Super Bowl wins, and Lavonte can make some of those big plays in those primetime moments and then in the postseason, then maybe that can change kind of the trajectory of his status, you know, on the national scene. But until those things happen, this is just kind of how you have to expect it. As angry as everybody is, it's just, you know, you have to expect it at this point.
Yeah, and let's not forget, Lavonte David is the first of five Buccaneers that are going to appear on this list. Five. Okay. Nobody ever is satisfied with the rankings. Everyone always thinks that their guys should be ranked higher. And, you know, sometimes they're right, but a lot of times you have to remember, you know, this isn't saying that Lavonte is the 100th best linebacker in the NFL. We're going to have to see how many linebackers are ranked ahead of him. Yeah, I believe he should have been higher. Yeah, I believe he's a top three linebacker in all of football. But, you know, this list is what it is. And it's somewhat manufactured for ratings and discussion. And to do what it did on Monday and cause Twitter buzz and debates and stir up issues, including issues between fellow wide receivers, that's a thing that happened. The Los San Diego Angeles Chargers receiver Keenan Allen, he said things, David. He said things on the internet that he could not take back. And he was debuted on the list as number 77 on the top 100. Mm-hmm. So he retweets the NFL Network, with his little graphic that shows his 2020 rank as 77th. And he says, starting to think I did something to somebody. Then a little bit later, he says, I'm the best wide receiver in the AFC East or the AFC West without question. Then a little bit later, he retweets the Chargers showing a video of himself and says this. Okay, I'm tired of biting my tongue. At Cheetah, at Mike Evans 13 underscore, at Chris Goodwin. That'll come up again here in a moment. And the list goes on. Are not a better receiver than me. Faster than me every day of the week, but separation, child, please. So this is Keenan Allen picking on Tyreek Hill, Mike Evans, and some poor guy named Chris Goodwin, who hasn't been on Twitter in 7 years, saying that they're not, obviously he means Chris Godwin, for those of you that are not laughing along with me, saying that these guys are not better receivers than he is. Mike Evans wakes up to this, and he says, quote, you tagged the wrong Chris Godwin, LOL. And don't be mad at us. We ain't make the rankings or care about them. I like the confidence, but be realistic. You not on my level, bro.
Yeah.
I like Keenan Allen. I do. But he's not Mike Evans.
No, not even close. I mean, maybe in like a fantasy aspect, he's close to Mike Evans, but fantasy football is not real football.
I will never draft Keenan Allen again. I like him. I think he's a good receiver, but I've had him twice, and both times he got hurt.
Yeah, I mean,
never draft him again.
He's been injured a lot, you know, in his career. Greg Allman sent out a tweet specifically, and I've noticed this myself that, you know, there's a lot of people who out there for some reason feel like Mike Evans is injury prone. Mike Evans has had a pretty healthy career. Now, you know, granted he missed, you know, the last part of last season with that hamstring injury, but that's kind of an outlier, you know, and hopefully he doesn't. I think what it goes back to, I mean, there were some hamstring issues that he dealt with earlier in his career, but he didn't miss a lot of games from those injuries or from those struggles. He was able to play through those. Keenan Allen, however, is a guy who, I mean, and it's not a knock on him. It's part of the profession. You know what I mean? These guys, what do they say? They go through 2 car accidents a game. I mean, it's going to happen to guys. It doesn't make you a lesser person or less talented than somebody else. I mean, people get injured. Look at Kajana Carter, you know, expected to be one of the greatest NFL running backs to ever touch the field. And his career never even got off of ground zero because of injury. So Cadillac Williams is a guy that Buccaneers fans will remember fondly and painfully, unfortunately, because of injury. So it's not a knock on Keenan Allen, but you know, I don't know, like if he never got hurt or if his body was able to stay healthier than it has, maybe he is one of the top, you know, shelf wide receivers in the NFL. But that's just not the case, and that's just not the situation. And again, to lash out at guys like Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and then Tyreek Hill for a list, I mean, it's not like those three guys sat in a room and ranked all the wide receivers themselves. You know what I mean? These are other guys. And not for nothing, but if you want to get mad, you know, it's so first of all, it's a very small sample size, like you pointed out. That puts this list together for the NFL or for NFL Network anyway already. Like, it's a very small percentage of players that actually input into this list. But even if it is, these are your peers. Like, this isn't social media. This isn't NFL Network. This isn't Mike Evans saying that you're a lesser receiver. These are fellow football players. And I mean, I don't know. I've never been an NFL player, but I can't imagine that as, like, if I'm a voter on this list and I'm sitting here and I see Keenan Allen send a tweet like that, I go, oh, man. He's right. I missed something. No, that's not going to happen, dude. Like, if you want to prove them wrong on the field. It's like Levante David. Like, if Levante is sitting at home going number 100, what the hell? Well, go out there and prove them wrong. And if Levante does what Levante does with all these cameras and spotlights and Tom Brady-ness going on, he will not be number 100 on next year's list. He will be much, much higher. But we all know that this list isn't 100% accurate anyway. Like, you don't have to point that out. Kyler Murray being on this list at all shows that this list is not to be taken completely serious. This is a morsel of entertainment for everybody watching the football world before the actual games kick off. That's what this is. That's what this is for. You know what I mean? There's no reason to make it any bigger than it has to be. But, you know, Keenan Allen decided to go out there. Honestly, when I first saw the tweet, I thought he meant to tag. I went with Goodwin, I went with like Marquise Goodwin. I'm like, was he trying to get after Marquise Goodwin? I didn't even think Chris Godwin until I saw Mike Evans in his tweet. But I mean, if anything, it just confirms that Chris Godwin and Mike Evans are both on the list, which they should be, and are well ahead of Keenan Allen. So, but again, man, I mean, if you know, if Keenan Allen wants to go out there and he's the number one receiver on his team and he's producing less or an equal level as a number two on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers team, and no, dude, you are not the best wide receiver in the NFC West by a long shot, let alone the NFL. So, I mean, it's fine. He got up in his feelings. He put him out on Twitter. He got blasted for them. I mean, even, I don't know, like even Chargers fans can't come out and really defend what he said. So, you know, it is what it is. He'll have to go and hope that something, you know, all these COVID opt-outs and positive tests are going to come out now and bury him in the news cycle, and he can just move on with his life. But he's like the third or fourth player to come out who really honestly isn't somebody I think of as being uber humble and saying, I'm done being humble. Like, bro, you haven't been humble your entire career anyway, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, right up there with Cam Newton and Odell Beckham Jr. talking about being humble.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Let's maybe next offseason, these guys need to work on a little bit of self-awareness. We need to run a
talking to you, Madden.
Yeah. Let me see those awareness ratings plummet for these guys. And real quick before we move on, I mean, not for nothing, but Keenan Allen has had Phillip Rivers, you know, the duration of his career. He's played one more season, but four fewer games. He doesn't have as many receiving yards. He doesn't have as many touchdowns. He doesn't have a higher yards per catch than Mike Evans. And Mike Evans has played with Josh McCown, Mike Glennon, Jameis Winston, and Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now, not to ruffle any feathers, but I would take Phillip Rivers over the other four quarterbacks that I just mentioned. I don't think that's a controversial opinion. I think Phillip Rivers has proved time and time again that he is on the cusp of being a Hall of Fame worthy quarterback. Unfortunately, he played in an era where if your name wasn't Manning, Brady, or Roethlisberger, you didn't get to a Super Bowl in the AFC.
Right. In 2020, I would not take Phillip Rivers over all of those quarterbacks. But
agreed.
When you're talking agreed, about 100%. Keenan Allen and the quarterbacks that he's played with versus the quarterbacks that Mike Evans has played with, you know, it's not even close. Like, Keenan Allen has had much better arm talent his entire career than Mike Evans has. And it's funny, actually, because earlier, towards the end of last week, I actually wrote something that was inspired by somebody else about Mike Evans and his yards per catch, you know, statistics and everything else. And I basically focused on 2019 alone, but there were Bucks fans who went in the comments on BucksNation.com and talked about his career numbers. And you know what I mean? His career numbers are 15.7. I compared him directly to Michael Thomas, not Keenan Allen, but Michael Thomas says his career high yards per catch average in a single season is a little over 12 yards, which is lower than Mike Evans's lowest yards per catch average in his career. So, I mean, you look at these things, you know, statistics don't tell the entire story. And Keenan Allen talking about, oh, separation is not even close. Dude, what are you talking about, man? There's so many, and you're a wide receiver. You're a pro wide receiver. You know, there's so much more that goes into being a professional wide receiver than just your quote unquote average, you know, yards of separation per route. I mean, separation is incredibly important. Don't get me wrong, but if it was the only thing, if it like for you to throw that out as the biggest identifier and separator between you and these other guys, well, I mean, just kind of shows you're grasping there. You're just, I mean, he's fighting for his ego, man. His ego is drowning. He's trying to grab on anything to keep his head above water. It didn't work. You know what I mean? The blue check mark didn't save you. I don't know. Just hopefully he moves on from it.
Wrapping things up here on a Tuesday edition here of the Locked On Bucks podcast. And we're going to dive into the realm of another sport because it could very indirectly tie into what's going on with the NFL. It was reported on Monday that the Florida Marlins it's Miami Marlins now, isn't it?
It's the Florida Derek Jeters.
Yeah, they sure trade away their best player for peanuts to the Yankees because they're owned by Derek Jeter. Not that I'm bitter, but it's still a little bit ridiculous that they traded Giancarlo.
You know that starting this year, when you play extra inning baseball, you start with a runner on second base?
I did know that.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah, I think that's about speeding things up.
That is dumb.
It's a wild, wild situation. I'm glad the Red Sox were good for one day and then decided to be the worst team in baseball the following days. But that's not the kind of baseball that we're talking about.
No, I'm serious. Hang on a second. That's like if hockey were to change their overtime rules to
they did change overtime,
you are allowed to have a shooter stand in the crease with the opposing goalie. Like, to me, that's the equivalent.
I think baseball purists are just upset about this as the hockey purists were that overtime was changed to 3-on-3. Oh, and by the way, we're going to do a gimmick to decide an actual winner and loser if you're still tied at the end of overtime. I enjoy the shootout, but it's gimmicky.
That's basically what 3-on-3 and shootout I love.
I do too. It's exciting, but it's gimmicky.
Yeah, but it's not as gimmicky as put a guy on second.
Well, and, you know, it'd be like, you know, the NBA. Oh, well, in overtime, we're going to add a four-point shot. No, what was that? What was that show on MTV years ago where they had, like, the 4 and the 10-point shots?
I don't know what it's called. Like, I can envision it, but I can't remember what it's called, yeah.
They had, like, a 25-foot hoop.
Yeah, I remember what you're talking about. I can't remember what it's called, though.
Oh, it was great. Is somebody tweet us if you remember that show. I think it was 3-on-3 basketball. And yeah, they had like a 25-foot hoop and they had bonus point spots on the court. It was like they were trying to make NBA Jam a real game.
Right.
So if you remember that, MTV. Tweet us the name.
No, you're MTV. Okay, fine. Do it. You know what I mean? But I saw, like, the thing I saw is that there's a Cleveland pitcher's reliever or Cleveland Indians relief pitcher who got the loss in a game because the runner who started on second to start the inning, because it was extra innings, scored, and they won the game. And the other two, I think it was the Royals maybe, won the game because of that. Like, You didn't even put that – like, this pitcher just took a loss. Like, that you're talking about impacting his future earnings, his career status. Like, that's significant. And I know it's only one loss, got it. But extrapolate that for an entire season. I know they're not even playing a full season this year. But, I mean, eventually, hopefully, you know, everything's going to get back to normal. And when – I mean, you're going to impact relief pitcher careers tremendously. I mean, Mariano Rivera may not be Mariano Rivera if he's always starting, you know, a safe situation or an extra inning situation with a runner on second. Like, that's I don't know. To me, it's significant. I think it's crap. You know what I mean? Like, how are you going to lose a game and have a 0.00 ERA? That doesn't make any sense. So anyway, sorry. Marlins.
Yes, the Miami Marlins had 8 players and 2 coaches test positive for COVID-19. Basically, an outbreak has spread through their team. And they have, you know, after this report on Monday, this team has 14 total cases between players and staff. So they're obviously their game against the Orioles last night was canceled. The team is still in Philadelphia. Now you got to start talking about they were in the visiting clubhouse in Philadelphia, which is where the Yankees are supposed to go. I say send them anyway, but that's because I don't like the Yankees. I don't really mean that. That's mean. You're talking about the Yankees having to go into that locker room where all these Marlins players were. So there's this huge fallout now of what is MLB going to do? How are they supposed to handle this? You know, are the Marlins going to have to call up basically like a whole minor league team to be able to play these games now? Are they going to have to forfeit? You know, all this stuff is going on. The MLB has to handle it properly because the sports world is watching. We can talk about the NBA and the NHL and these players are in bubbles and neither league had any positive tests. Everyone was tested, coaches, staff, players, everyone, all of them tested. None of them tested positive. They've been living in these bubbles. The MLB can't do that. They're still traveling all over the place. They're not playing all their games in a host city. And I mentioned it on one of my solo shows a week or two ago that the NFL is able to utilize the time, although they're running out of it, time is still on their side. They're watching the NBA, the NHL, the MLB, and watching these leagues troubleshoot for them on how to handle these situations. And if the MLB botches this, the NFL can say, well, not doing that because that was a terrible idea. Here's how we can do it better, or whatever the case may be. But this could significantly impact sports moving forward the rest of the year if this all of a sudden runs rampant through the MLB because these teams are still sharing facilities and sharing locker rooms.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to deny the correlation, right? So the two pro leagues that have gotten operations underway, at least in our country, that haven't had, you know, this type of occurrence happen, this type of rise, you know, in positive tests and all that happen, are in bubbles. And they're isolated, you know, they're isolated from their families, their friends. You know, they go to work and they go to their hotel room and they go to the gym and they go to work. Like, that's their life right now. And then the one that doesn't, you know, I mean, listen, it's there's no easy answer at the end of the day. And I'm all about players, you know, like Donovan Smith voicing concern over his newborn daughter and his family and their health and his own health. And I'm with you 100%. And, you know, I know there's a lot of guys out there, a lot of people out there who don't like, you know, the thought that these players are going to have the option to just not play because, you know, we have to go to work. You got to go to work, James. I have to go to work. You know what I mean? My wife's been going to work. I mean, we don't have that luxury. We don't have $1 million in the bank or millions of dollars in the bank to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to take a year off and I'm going to live off the million plus that I've got sitting in the bank and I'll be all right. I'll see you guys next year. We don't have that option. But hey, listen, these guys do. And we can get into the conversation, the morals or the ethics of, you know, athletes, you know, playing a child's game, quote unquote, getting paid millions. We can get all of that. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it is what it is. And these players are making what they're making for whatever reason. It's entertainment. But really what the NFL has to do is look at the NBA, look at hockey, look at baseball, draw whatever lessons they can. Hopefully Roger Goodell's on the phone with these other commissioners and talking to these people. Hopefully they're sharing ideas. And if it comes down to a conversation of, does the NFL need to be played in a bubble from September, from August, you know, to February, if you make it all the way to the Super Bowl, does it need to be done in a bubble? Do these players need to give up their families, you know, in person, family, I mean, you can FaceTime, phone calls. Does that need to happen? And then these players have got to answer the question, are you willing to accept those circumstances? And then fans essentially have to respond, understanding, is it really that important to you, to our society, to our culture, for it to be a big deal? And I've got a little bit of experience in these types of situations. It's not the exact same thing. And before any of my fellow veterans get twisted, I'm not comparing the two, but I've spent over 36 months of my career in a bubble, if you want to, I mean, really, you want to call it that, isolated, only around the people I work with, away from my family, not able to contact them closely in person. But the reason is just, you know what I mean? And the reason it makes sense why we're doing it, obviously. There's no arguing that that's a worthwhile reason to be in a bubble. What the NFL has to do and what these players have to do is decide, is this worth it? Is having a season worthwhile enough to us personally, to us as a franchise and a business, and honestly to the country a little bit? Because this is one of those types of situations. I mean, everybody wants players to be more considerate to the fans and more outgoing and engaged and all this other stuff. And then, you know, a player reaches out and they do that and they get smacked by, you know, racism, back talk, I don't know, elitism, whatever you want to call it. They get smacked back by other fans who just, you know, can't behave around famous people for some reason. And we want to wonder why, you know, throwing batteries at players and coaches and everything, you want to wonder why players don't stick their necks out there more. This is kind of a situation where, I mean, there has to be a conversation a little bit among players and among coaches of the cultural impact that sports, that competition that the NFL makes on this country, because it's real. I mean, when you think America, the NFL is something that you think about when you think about America. So if they decide that it's not worth it and we don't have a 2020 season, that is a significant impact on this country. It's going to have a significant impact on this country. It just is. But is it enough as a player? Like, if you're Tom Brady, are you willing – potentially because of what's happening with the Marlins, and it's only one, right? So we don't have to get all the way there yet. But that conversation's got to start bubbling up a little bit, I think. If you're Tom Brady, if you're Donovan Smith, if you're Mike Evans, is it worth not physically being around your family and your friends from August to February to do this? I can't answer that question for anybody. I don't know if you can, James, but I can't answer that question for anybody. Because that's what basketball players are doing right now. That's what hockey players are doing right now. But they're doing it for a lesser period of time. I got it. But that's the question I think the NFL needs to start asking themselves. Not saying they have to act on it, but I think they need to start asking that question.
Yeah, I agree completely. And I would not expect that players would be too thrilled about basically living in a bubble for 5 or 6 months. I mean, that's too much to ask. Honestly, if the choice for NFL players was you can play this season, but you have to live in a bubble, or this season is canned, I would fully support the players to say, no, we're not doing that. We're not living away from our families for 6 months. And I get, like you said, the NBA and the NHL are doing it, but they're not doing it for the duration of an entire season. They're doing it to get through basically modified playoff tournaments.
Right.
So,
I'm not going to sit here and look at Mike Evans and say, no, dude, you should. I mean, I don't know, like, when is Ashley's birthday? When's their wedding anniversary? When are his children's birthday? Like, I don't know all these facts. Yeah. I'm not going to sit here and say you should willingly give up all of those life events, Christmas, Thanksgiving, you know what I mean, for the sake of entertaining our country. But
exactly,
I'm also not going to marginalize the impact that the sport of football has on our country. I mean, they're both equally impactful, right? Like, football is a huge deal in this country. Athletics is a huge deal. Sports entertainment is a huge deal in this country. But again, I'm not going to tell you, James, you should pick up a rifle, gear up, and come with me to Afghanistan either. So I'm not going to tell these players to do it either. I mean, it's a personal decision that everybody's going to have to make. The league's going to have to make. The organization's going to have to make, hopefully in tandem. I feel like, honestly, that they're probably going to go ahead with the current plan they have right now. Just, hey, guys, listen, learn from the Marlins. Maybe don't go out and socialize as much. But right now, if you're a Marlins player, you have been around somebody who's been exposed to COVID-19, period. Like, you have. If you've been around the Marlins, I mean, the Phillies are getting tested, or the Nationals have asked not to have to travel. I mean, you are now in that situation. You feel like you're potentially bringing this home, and you're not in a bubble. So there might be baseball players right now sitting there going, man, we probably should have been in a bubble. So again, hopefully these athletes are talking to each other, these players, these leaders. I mean, it's unique. Nobody's ever had to do it before. Nobody's ever, they're literally setting trends right now that someday in the future, if it comes up again, other people are going to look back at what's happened in 2020 and what these leaders in these leagues are doing, and they're going to lean on those as lessons learned. But already we're starting to have a lesson come out. And I think, I mean, look, there's three leagues. Two of them are bubbled. One of them's not. I mean, I'm not a doctor, and I'm not saying that it's exactly that. But the logical thought process kind of leans towards which idea is better for the health of your league if you really want to make this happen.
All right. Well, David, we are way over on time. Final quick little nugget. Inside training camp coverage kicks off Tuesday at 1 p.m. on NFL Network. Bucks linebacker Lavonte David is set to join inside training camp on NFL Network Tuesday. That, you know, today, as you're listening to this, at 1 o'clock. So, oh, also, there's a quarterback that reported to the facility today. He's kind of a big deal. That happened. Pictures on Twitter, at Buccaneers. We will be back tomorrow. Until then, please check out everything going on over at BucsNation.com. Our own Evan Winter did a very deep dive into the Mike Evans versus Chris Godwin versus Keenan Allen debate, using all kinds of analytics and everything, and broke a lot of it down. There's a lot of info packed in there, but he did a great job. David has a pretty remarkable piece up there about, you know, some, well, I'll let you talk about it real quick, David, you know, some of these 80-man rosters.
Yeah, I mean, just with the NFL moving forward, at least, you know, reportedly with the 80-man roster, I know the Broncos made a bunch of cuts on Monday. You know, just kind of throwing out there some players who may end up falling victim to that 80-man roster trim. I mean, the teams have until August 15th to make those moves. So they don't necessarily have to come in the next week, but I mean, to me, I would kind of almost, you know, expect some of them to happen sooner rather than later.
Yeah. So plenty of stuff going on over at BucsNation.com. Make sure you check it out. Send us your voicemails to 813-444-5841. Follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JArco_Bucks, at DHarrison82. and at Bucks_Nation. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding day. Stay safe, stay healthy, wash your hands, be good to each other. And we thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.